hope thou in God. We have learned over the last many weeks now where many people have placed their hope. You know, many people have placed their hope in possessions. They place their hope in a job or a retirement or in entertainment or in none of these things in and of themselves are wrong, but we are learning a lot about ourselves maybe even as well. And again, I kind of lost my train of thought there that they're not wrong in and of themselves, but that isn't where we want to be placing our hope. And we as God's people as well need to be reminded of this in these days, in any kind of days. I wrote this down as I wrote this, but this particular statement, I've highlighted it. When certain people or things are removed from my life and I lose hope, then I know my hope was misplaced. Let me say that again. When certain people or things are removed from my life and I lose hope, then I know that my hope was misplaced. I want to challenge you with this thought today of hope thou in God. In our particular passage of Scripture, and really 42 and 43 can go together, and I'll mention that here in a moment, but this thought about this chapter, the psalmist is despondent because he cannot make his usual pilgrimage to the temple. I found that to be very interesting. Notice what he says in verse number 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Notice this. When shall I come and appear before God? Before God. Then look down at verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Many people believe, commentaries, again, are simply that, commentaries, but believe that this is part of the reason why that the psalmist here is despondent. It was the cry from man from the outward ordinances and worship of God. It was the sighing or the cry of a long-loved house of his God, missing that intimate relationship within the house of God. Thank God we can have a relationship with him outside the walls of the church. Here we see the psalmist struggling with doubts and fears, but holding his ground by faith in the one true and living God. I think most of us in this day can recognize and can agree with and can empathize with the psalmist here. There's a lot of possibilities within these psalms, one of which it's a possibility that it was when David was on a flight, running from would be a better way of saying it, from his son Absalom. Notice, if you will, possibly in your Bible, it has a little bit of an introduction. And you notice that a lot of the psalms have an introduction to them. This one says, to the chief musician. You see that in your Bible there? If you notice in chapter 43, it does not have an introduction to Psalm 43. Again, chapter divisions were not inspired. They were put for reading purposes and whatnot. But I would have to tend to agree that 42 and 43 do very much go together, especially when you look at verse 5, verse 11, and verse 5 of chapter 43, pretty much all being the same verses. But notice it says that it was to the chief musician, Maskil. Now, that's not the name of the chief musician. Maskil there denotes a specific type of musical performance to accompany the psalm. And so, in other words, again, many of these were psalms. And what is a psalm? Something that can be sung. David playing on the harp, and others that put together the psalms, David giving the majority of them. But notice who it's for. For the sons of Korah. Sons of Korah. Now, I don't know about you, but that name rings a little bit of a bell. Korah. It's the same Korah, we believe, it's the same Korah. If you go back to number 16, I'm not going to turn there because that's not the message. This is just a little bit of a background. It's the same Korah from number 16 that rebelled against what leader? That's right, Moses. If you got Moses, then you got the prize for the day, a chocolate-covered bozo button. I'll get it in the mail to you. Just don't eat it. Hold on to it, okay? But he rebelled against God against Moses, which was rebelling against God. And it's quite a dramatic story there. And yet here we see the sons of Korah. Now, I'm not sure, and I'm not going to stand emphatically and say that sons here means biological sons, or if it just means descendants of Korah. I don't know, can't really make a claim to that. I just know that I personally believe that it's a relation of Korah. And to me, that's an amazing thought, too, when you think about that. I love the heritage that God has given me, and I praise God for it. But some people, we say it this way, some people were saved from a life of sin. Some people were saved out of a life of sin. No matter what, we're all equal when we come to the foot of the cross. Let's just get that straight right now. But possibly some of you lived in sin. Maybe you can get saved when you're 25, 35, 45, 46 years old. 46, that's really getting pretty old, isn't it? And you didn't get saved till later in life. And so, you know, there was a lot of, baggage there, if you will. By the grace of God, he'll save a 16-year-old. He'll save an 86-year-old. Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is these descendants of Korah, they don't have a background that some would want to write down on their family tree. Okay? Their descendant rebelled against Moses, which was rebelling against God, and the earth opened up, and everybody went down in there. Dathan and Abiram were involved in that, and it was just an amazing feat by God because of rebellion. And so, again, just a little bit of information about Psalm 42. And again, as I said in the opening, Psalm 42 and 43 seem to be together and offer a song of hope. That is our theme. I just want to go through the psalm. This isn't part of the outline. We'll go through that. The outline is more going to be, it will basically be the conclusion of the message today. But I want to just make some observation as I did, I just kind of went down through this verse and I looked for hope. I looked for hope. How many of you are looking for hope? All right. How many of you are looking for hope? I'm looking for hope. We ought to be looking for hope, and we can find it in God. Hope thou in God. Verses 1 and 2, I believe we find hope for the thirsty. Again, this isn't on the screen. This isn't going to be in the PowerPoint. But maybe you want to jot these down in the margin of your Bible, or maybe you want to write them down somewhere on a piece of paper. I believe we find hope for the thirsty. We see that there. As the hart, as the deer, as any animal would be on the run, panteth after the water brooks, thirsty, hunted. You know, think about sometimes in your life when you just feel like the enemy is after me all the time. From one thing to the next, he's on my heels. And I'm on the run. By the way, praise God, you can run from the enemy. You can run from the enemy and do it in the strength of the Lord. But hey, I'm telling you what, when you're on the run from the enemy, sun up to sun down, you're going to get thirsty. Praise God, we've got the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Keep yourself hydrated in the Word of God. But here I see hope for the thirsty. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for who? God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's a question. When am I going to see you, God? When am I going to have time with you, God? When am I going to have hope in you, God? Thirsty. There's hope for the thirsty. I wonder today, are you thirsty? I wonder today, are you thirsty for a closeness with God like never before? I wonder today, is there something in your life that God has brought into your life that nobody else knows about, that he's bringing into your life, and he's trying to make you thirsty? He's trying to get you to the point where you've got to reach down, and you've got to get a drink because I'm getting thirsty. Thirst for God. A thirst for God. There's hope for the thirsty. Number two, by way of introduction, I see that there's hope for the sorrowful. I see there's hope for the sorrowful. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. Basically, the psalmist is saying here, I've just cried and cried and cried and cried. From sun up to sun down. Notice, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Here's the psalmist over here, and he's crying morning, noon, and night, and people are coming to me, and I'm going through a difficult time and saying, where's God? Why are you allowed to go through this? Why has two family members died? And we're still praying. Keep praying for Miss Diane Seco's mom over in the Philippines, that God would strengthen her. And you know, that's difficult for Diane, and it's difficult for you to go through what you're going through. I don't mean to just mention a few people by name, but, you know, the sorrowful, those that are struggling with different things, spiritual, emotional, physical things, and there's sorrow that comes in, and we're weeping, and people come up, and they just want to help. You know, sometimes people say stupid things, you know, but they're just trying to help. Where is God? you know what? Hey, if I knew where God was in all this, I would have told you a long time ago. Sometimes there's places in our life where we just don't know where God is. There's hope for the sorrowful. Number three, I see that there's hope for the worshipful. Look at verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you might be thirsty, you might be sorrowful, but that gives us no reason to worship, to not worship our God. We might be carrying a heavy burden. By the way, don't carry a heavy burden. Casting all your care on Him, 1 Peter 5:7, for He careth for you. You weren't built to carry the burdens that you're trying to carry right now. Brother, I think it's Brother Chappell wrote a great book on the burden bearer. If you've never read that book, you need to read that book. I've bought it for several people. If you don't have it, get it. I don't know if I have an extra copy. I'll let you use it, borrow it. The burden bearer, great book. There's no excuse for we as children of God, if we are sorrowful, if we are thirsty, that we can't be in a time and have time for worship and in time for praise and in time for singing as unto the Lord. As the psalmist here says, I had a voice of joy and praise. So there's hope for the thirsty, for the sorrowful, for the worshipful. Moving along, in verse 5, I believe there's hope for the humble. For the humble. Why art thou cast down? Notice, cast down. Those are words of a kneeling. It doesn't have to be physical kneeling, because he's talking about his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The help of his countenance. Notice that word countenance. Countenance is our face, right? Now, no man hath seen God at any time, and I'm not in any way saying that you can look and you can see the face of God, but no, you can see the countenance of God. You can see the faithfulness of God. You can see the mercy of God. Well, I see the mercy of God in my life. I have seen the mercy of God in my life time and time and time again. When I deserve this, and yet God did this, that was mercy. That was mercy. Not getting what I don't deserve not getting what I deserve is mercy. And oh, haven't we all experienced the grace of God? If you're saved, you've experienced the grace of God. Heaven is your home. You don't deserve heaven, yet you're going to have heaven someday because of the grace of God. But notice there's hope for the humble. May we as God's children determine to live our lives in this way, in a life of humility. But then I see another one. Again, just looking down through these verses as we consider the word hope. Verse 7, I believe there's hope for the overwhelmed. The overwhelmed. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Notice, all thy waves and thy billows are gone, where? Over me. Over me. You know, I get. You know what I picture here? I picture someone who's out in a body of water, and they're trying to stay afloat, and the waves are coming up. They're going up and down with the waves. Water's coming up over top of them. They're trying to keep their mouth closed. They're trying to keep themselves from drowning. They're getting overwhelmed by the sea of the water there, as it says. Verse number 7, thy waves and thy billows. And you know what? Maybe you found yourself in that way over these last several weeks, overwhelmed, you know? When your hope is in material things, and I'm not saying yours is, I'm just saying when our hope is in material things, when our hope is in the temporal things, we're going to be overwhelmed a lot quicker. When our hope is in God. And by the way, it's even there for the overwhelmed. Maybe you're overwhelmed this afternoon. Hope thou in God. Don't let the waters of life get you to the point where you just give up and you just sink down into despair lower and lower and lower. No, there's hope for the overwhelmed. Then in verse number 8, the Bible says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You know what I see here in verse 8? That there's hope for the lonely. You know what? When you get up at night, there's not, normally when you get up at night, you're the only one up at night in the house. Now sometimes there's more than that. If somebody's not well, everybody's awake, okay? Everybody's awake. But I'm just saying, normally, when I picture this verse, I picture someone that is all alone in the night season. And it might not be nighttime, but that's what I picture. In the night season of life, or literally in the nighttime. And the Bible says, his song shall be with me. Well, I'll tell you what, when you get his songs, you get the word of God out and you open up to these different psalms that are in this book right here that's inspired, and it's in the night season of your life and nobody is there. You can't get the pastor. You can't get the assistant pastor. You can't call their wives. You can't get a hold of anybody. It just seems like there's nothing there. By the way, he is there. His song is there for you in the night season. And it'll be there all the day long as well. I believe there's hope for the lonely. Hope for the lonely. Look at verse number 9. I will say unto my God, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the, here's the next word, oppression of the enemy. I believe that there's hope for the oppressed. Hope for the oppressed. And I know the oppressed are various individuals could say this. I'm so thankful that as a born-again child of God, that there's no way that the devil can possess me. I'm off limits. You can't be possessed by the Holy Spirit of God and the devil at the same time. It's impossible. That's possession, okay? We're talking about oppression here. My friends, all over this world that we live in today, even right here in beautiful British Columbia. That's what those license plates say, don't they? Beautiful British Columbia. There are people, some of you right now, you're listening, and I thank you for listening. You're living in oppression right now. I've been there. You might be there right now. You might be there next year. I don't know. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just saying, there's hope in oppression. Well, I tell you what, the devil would like nothing more than to oppress you and discourage you and defeat you to the place where, like we said in the Sunday school hour, that you surrender, not to the Lord, but that you surrender to the ways of the enemy. You say, forget this church thing, forget this Bible thing. How could God allow something like this to happen? We can't even go to church. And it goes on and on and on. There's hope for the oppressed. I think of some of our folks at Anchor Baptist Church that don't have access to the internet. I think of even some of our ones that we were ministering to just before this began who are trying to get victory in their life. And I'm not going to go into detail because I think you know who I'm talking about. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just lifting them up because it's a burden to me to think I can't really do much. And I know I heard from someone last night by email that said I've been connecting, I've been calling, and I'm so thankful to hear that. And oh, there's hope, there's hope. Let us continue to preach a message of hope for the oppressed. And then number next, it's not really numbered, just some thoughts from the verses. Number 10, notice, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? There's hope for the wounded. You get a sword in your body like that, that hurts. Tried to just envision that a little bit. A sword in my bones. Some of us listening right now, we've been wounded. The Christian life, people are wounded. Some of them are self-inflicted. I've done those. You've done those. Some people are wounded today because of the sins of others that they have inflicted upon you, and it's wounded you. While you have forgiven them, I hope, because that's the only place that God can help you, you must forgive. But even when that is the case, there are some wounds that we look at, and while we cannot see them, I mean, I have scars that I can remember what happened, but there are some other things that happened to you far greater than a physical scar, and sin wounds us, doesn't it? You know, and I think about what the Lord Jesus did for us so that we could have hope. You know, those scars that are in his hands, in his side. I think of some dear people, and I wouldn't for the life of you even talk about it specifically at all, but I have people in my mind right now that I know have gone through a season of being wounded. Can I tell you today, if you're wounded right now, there's hope for you if you're wounded. Bible says it right here. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? I can remember going through that journey with different people along life and even my younger years, and I don't consider myself old, but you know, you kind of start hearing voices, don't you? And I'm being kind when I say that, and you kind of start hearing voices, where is God in this? Let me tell you, God offers hope for the wounded. Right after that verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. I'd like to give you this outline now. That was just kind of the introduction. And I'd like to give you a brief outline about our hope in God. Number one, our greatest hope is future-oriented. Number one, our greatest hope is future-oriented. The word hope here in our text, several times it's mentioned, it denotes this, an expectation which is founded on faith in God and leads the soul to wait upon Him. Let me give you that one more time. This word hope, hope thou in God, it's here several times in our passage. It denotes an expectation which is founded. Expectation is something that is future, right? I have a high expectation for whatever. It's coming. It's coming in the future. It denotes an expectation which is founded on faith in God, which leads the soul to wait. So our greatest hope is future-oriented. In other words, you're in the midst of all of these things that I just mentioned, and a lot of them were more negative in nature. Our hope is in this. Our hope is in the expectation that leads us to wait on Him. In other words, today, I can wholeheartedly say to you that I am completely and wholeheartedly expecting God to honor His Word. God always honors His Word. God does not lie. Titus tells us that, and we'll look at that in a few moments. I am expecting God to keep and honor His Word. John 14:3, the Bible says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know what? That's a hope that I have. That I am expecting God to come again in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. We talked about that recent days. And receive us unto Himself. I am expecting that. Letter A, hope which is seen is not hope. Him coming again, I don't see it, do I? I expect it. Why? Because He tells me it's in His Word. Hope thou in God. Don't lose hope. Much of hope and faith can go hand in hand. There's slightly, well, maybe a slight difference in there, but don't lose hope. Jesus Christ, His Word is faithful. It is true. Hope that is seen is not hope. Letter B, hope is today's anchor for tomorrow's expectations. I want us to dwell on that word expectation for a moment. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter 62. Hope is today's anchor for tomorrow's expectation. Just let that sink in a little bit. Hope is my anchor that tomorrow is going to happen exactly how God said it's going to happen, or the future, or whatever it may hold. Right now, it doesn't seem like that's going to take place because of what is happening in my life. And because of the woundedness or the oppression or loneliness or overwhelmed or being or whatever it may be that God is allowing to come into my life. No, hope is the anchor that I need right now that tomorrow's expectations will be fulfilled. Hope thou in God. Psalm 62, verse number 5. My soul, wait. Circle that word, wait. Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation, circle that word, expectation, is from Him. Wait thou upon God. The word wait there means to be silent, to be still. To be silent, to be still. Now, any of you that have known me very long, still is not a word that is attributed to my nature, being just still. I mean, sitting here, even during the songs, I have to tap my foot, bounce my knee, something. I have to be moving. Stillness in me, the only time it goes hand in hand is when I am pillowing my head at night, and then probably I'm not even still then. I don't know. It's just a thing with me. Many people have it. It's not just me. I'm just saying stillness, okay? And then be silent, okay? Well, yeah, I do need to be quiet sometimes, and I'm not quiet enough. I'm too loud. I shouldn't talk on the phone in buildings and things like that. Thankfully, right now with social distancing, if I'm in a building, I take the calls because there's nobody close to me anyway, so it don't matter. If they got a problem with it, God bless them. I'll hurry up and get outside. But anyway, wait, to be silent, to be still. Oh, but don't miss it. I just about had a Holy Ghost fit when I looked up this word expectation. Psalm 62:5. For my expectation is from Him. Now, we're going to do a little Bible study. Okay? Go with me to Joshua. Don't forget that word expectation. Go with me to Joshua chapter 2. You know what? God's word is alive, amazing, and I have never, and again, I know maybe you've heard me say this, other people say this, I have never put this together until now, what I'm about to show you. And it's not new. It's been in the Bible for thousands of years. But I don't know. I didn't study it enough, and I got to study it more and get more out of it. There's so much in there. Okay, expectation, Psalm 62:5, my expectation is from Him. Who's Him? God. Okay, expectation. All right. Joshua chapter 2, verse 18. What does this have to do with this? Okay, let's read verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet. That's an important statement. Thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. 21, verse 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line. There it is again, scarlet line, line of scarlet. Those are both key phrases. Okay, Pastor Turner, what does scarlet line and line of scarlet in Joshua have to do with expectation? This is amazing. God really encouraged me about this. The word expectation in Psalm 62:5 is translated from the same Hebrew word that is translated line of scarlet and scarlet line in Joshua 2, 18 and 21, okay? I wrote it down exactly as I wanted to say it and try to read it. It refers to the hope they had that the scarlet line was a symbol of God's what? Protection. Saving them. We have the same expectation today. The psalmist says, my soul, wait, be quiet, be still. Why? Because there's a scarlet line that God has out for us today. All the way through the Word of God, the scarlet line is there. Our expectation is on the Lord. He's never failed us once. He's not going to start today. God is taking care of you. And by the way, just because God lets me get sick doesn't mean that God isn't protecting me. He might let it come into me. Oh, what does it say in 1 John 1:17? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, Jesus Christ's blood is that scarlet line. Jesus Christ is my expectation. Jesus Christ is our hope. Glory to God for that. Psalmist says, be still. Wait, for your expectation is from Him. Get in this home. Get in this home. Everybody that gets in this home, everybody that gets in Rahab's home, you have your expectation outside the window. You're going to be saved. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this book right here is filled with the promises of God's Word. It is my expectation. Our greatest hope is future-oriented, but I don't have to wonder if it's going to happen the way that it says it's going to happen. It's going to happen the way that it says it's going to happen because my expectation is in Him. And that leads me to number two. God is the object of our hope. Number one, our greatest hope is future-oriented. Number two, God is the object of our hope. The goal for everything that we do in life must always be God. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to who? God. We're not coming to the pastor. Now, you have a pastor that loves you and wants to help you. Don't That's not what I'm saying. But he that cometh to God, the goal is God. The goal is God. The goal for the local church is to come to God. The goal for the unbeliever is to come to God for salvation. The goal for the needy in Christ is to come to God for our provision. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And on it goes. God is the object of our hope. Might we come to God in faith today for whatever we need? Might we come to God in humility for whatever God lays on your heart? Might we come to God in hope today? Might we come to God believing? Colossians tells us that I am complete in Him. Nothing needs to be added. Colossians 2 and verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. God is the object of our hope, for he that cometh to God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you, hope thou in God. Let's not get worried. Let's not fret. God is good. God has everything under control. And hey, God's teaching you. God's teaching me. God is humbling me. God is humbling you. God is using circumstances in our life to bring us to Himself. The goal is God. The object of our hope is God. Not the miracles, but God. The object of our hope is God. As the Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Well, I hope you're diligently seeking God. Because when you diligently seek God, he's not going to go hide. He wants you to find him. He wants me to find him. Our hope. Our greatest hope is future-oriented. God is the object of our hope. Letter A. Underneath that, number two. Blessed is the man whose hope is in God. Blessed is the man whose hope is in God. The word blessed means joyful. It means happy. You see all the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter number 5. And we see other areas in the Scripture where it talks about being blessed. Blessed is the man whose hope is in God. Look, if my hope is in my retirement, I'm not going to be blessed. My hope has to be in God. If my hope is in this amazing job that I have, and I'm just speaking parenthetically here for all of us, then my hope is misplaced and I'm not going to be blessed. If my hope is in my health, then my hope is misplaced and I'm not going to be blessed. Look, you can have the worst health of anybody in the world and have your hope in God and be blessed. Being blessed is not indicated by how much money or how much health that we have. No, quite the opposite. When our hope is in God, we are going to be blessed all of the time. Blessed is the man whose hope is in God. And then letter B, hope in God continually fills us with joy and peace. Hope in God fills us with joy and peace. Let's go to the book of Philippians for just a moment. We'll come back to Psalm 42. Philippians chapter number 4. Hope thou in God. I trust you're being helped today. I trust today if you're listening to the broadcast, the live stream, and you're not saved. We've talked a little bit about that salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. He is your only expectation. You are not going to get to heaven through beads. You are not going to get to heaven through chanting. You are not going to get to heaven through the priest, the pastor, or Pastor Turner, the Baptist, the Catholic, or any denomination for that matter. Your only hope of heaven, we'll talk about it here in just a moment, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter number 4, verse 4. Many of you know these verses from memory, but let's read them. You follow along. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Where's your hope today? The word careful there means full of care, full of worry. And I recognize that there have been many times in my life where I have been careful for many things, and that's not right. You might be there right now. Let me just lovingly tell you, when this meeting is over, or even before the meeting is over, you need to get to the Lord and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of worrying, because worry isn't going to help you. Worrying is only going to harm you. Worrying is only going to harm the container that it's kept in. It's much like bitterness. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? Unto God. What was the statement that we made? We said hope in God fills us with joy and peace. Where are you taking all of your concerns today? Where are you taking all of your care today? Where are you taking all of your innermost concerns and worries and fears? Where are you taking them? The Bible tells you the formula. The Bible tells me the formula. Take them to the Lord. Take them there. He's ready to hold them. He's got broad shoulders. He can take mine, yours, and everybody's in the whole world. And what happens when we do that? And the what? Peace of God. Peace of God. If you're today without peace, Christian, here's the formula. The peace that passeth all understanding comes to us when we take our concerns and make them known unto God. God is the object of our hope. Blessed is the man, letter A, whose hope is in God. And letter B, our hope in God fills us with joy. I have one more, number three, big number three. Our present hope will become our future joy. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but I believe this is a bit different in thought. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Our present hope will become our future joy. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Titus chapter 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 1. Letter A, we are in hope of eternal life. Now, I believe as a Christian that we have eternal life right now, right? But as we continue to walk around on this earth, as we continue to walk around in this sin-cursed world, we don't really see it that way in the sense of eternal life because we still have all the sin around us and so forth, okay? But our hope, we are in hope of eternal life. We are in hope of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, free from this body of sin and free from this world of sin. And so our present hope, number three, is our future joy. Letter A, we are in hope of eternal life. Let's read what Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, the Apostle Paul writing, and again, a familiar verse, in hope of eternal life. Notice that word there, in hope. That's where we are right now. We're in hope of eternal life. Which God that cannot lie? Again, hope thou in God. Everything that we're talking about today when it comes to hope doesn't get even a half step away from Almighty God. So if you are away from God, you're away from hope. If you've wandered away from God, you've wandered away from hope. If you've wandered away from His Word, you've wandered away from hope. If you've wandered away from the things of the Lord, you've wandered away from hope. If it could be me too, and I say that we, if we've wandered away from hope, look, hope is always based in God, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We are in hope of eternal life. And then letter B, the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers a lively hope. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I would not have you to not know about it. That's what ignorant means. Just didn't know, doesn't know. Haven't been taught about it. Concerning them which are asleep. Now, asleep, many of you already know this, but asleep is not referring to soul sleep. That is not a biblical doctrine. Okay? When you read the word asleep in the Bible, it's referring to someone who has passed away. They have died. Okay? And so he's saying here, don't be concerned about them that are asleep. It's like this. It's like someone who you said goodbye to when someone dies in the Lord. Let's finish the verse. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no what? Hope. Okay? So as a believer, when someone we love dies, the Bible says they've gone to sleep. Okay? It's as if we are saying goodbye to someone and we don't know the next time that we're going to see them, but we know that we are going to see them, and so we have in us hope. You know, it's, we'll see you later. We have no idea when we're going to see you again, but we have a hope. That's what it says there. Those which have no hope. Okay? So who has no hope? Well, here's who has no hope. And if you're listening right now and you're not saved, please listen. The Bible says right here in the Word of God, when you die, and by the way, I think I remember reading this. I don't have it in my notes. I'll be willing to be the first one corrected that most of the time, if not all of the time, when the Bible says asleep, it's talking about a believer in the Bible. I think I read that, okay? So it's talking about a believer, and the believer has hope. And so now we have someone without hope. So who doesn't have hope? The unbeliever. The one who is without Christ. Today, if you're without Christ, you are beyond hope. And I know we make jokes about that out here because we have Hope BC. That's not what we're talking about. That's nothing compared to being like, dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I need to warn you that the Bible here says for Christians, when we have a loved one who dies that knew Christ, it's just like them going to sleep. We're going to see him again someday. Praise the Lord for that. And I meant to mention it earlier, but just a couple of days ago, I got word that Brother Ike Williams, many of you know, remember Brother Ike Williams, a dear, dear church member of Anchor Baptist Church for over a decade. He went home to be with the Lord in February. I can't believe it. It's February of 2019. It's been over a year. I cannot believe that. He lived just down the street from us. Many times I've walked by his house over these last several months. Anyway, you'll remember that we prayed many, many months and years, actually, for his uncle, Carlos Arthur. And just 2 days ago, Carlos Arthur, he went to sleep, as the Bible says. And he's in heaven now, reunited with his bride, reunited with his nephew, Ike, and I'm sure many other people that have gone on before him that knew the Lord. Now, we could say to Brother Arthur, we'll see you again, because we know he was a Christian. We know that he put his faith and trust in Christ. So we have hope. It's not, we're never going to see you again. Now, we grieve. We grieve. We definitely grieve. But we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve, but with hope behind it. You know, our family went through that and 5 months ago. My wife's brother. 25th of November. Grieving, yes, lots of it. And I'm sure there's still a lot more. But there's hope behind the grieving. Because it's not, we're never going to see Andy again. It's, we have hope that someday we're going to see him again. We're going to see his dad again, my father-in-law, and so forth and so forth. We have hope. We are in hope of eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us a lively hope. What about you today? If you were to die today, you have hope? Do you have hope that you would be in heaven? Do you have faith that you would be, do you have a knowledge? Do you have an understanding of what it means to be a Christian? By the way, being a Christian is not being a non-Muslim. I'm saying that kindly. If you're a Muslim listening, I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying, many people think if you're not Muslim, then you're Christian. You know, of course, I guess there's maybe atheists and so forth. But I'm just saying, many times that's what people think. No, that's not the case. Do you know what it means to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? To know beyond a shadow of a doubt when you die that heaven will be your home? Psalm 39 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Hope thou